Let's continue on in verse 9. It says, Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about. So it's not just the people that are being judged. It is also the land. It's also the surrounding nations. So we see just a little glimpse of how terrible it is to disobey the Lord and what the consequences can be. And Jeremiah, the Lord is giving this message through Jeremiah. He says that he will utterly destroy them. We're in the end of verse 9. Will utterly destroy them. In other words, he's going to completely... This word utterly destroy has the idea of almost to put a curse on them. It means to devote something to destruction. It's a word that I believe it can also be used in a positive sense, to devote something to the Lord. But here it's used in a negative sense, to devote something to destruction, to the Lord's judgment. It will be utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment. Now, an astonishment means a horror. It's like if you imagine like a battlefield scene. It's like that complete destruction that you don't really want to even look at. It's that horrific. And so he's going to make it, he's going to utterly destroy them, make them an astonishment, and an hissing. Now, a hissing basically means a whistling. It's the idea that the people around them are going to look at them and they're going to hiss at them. They're going to make fun of them, if you will. And then he says, and perpetual desolations. The idea is continued ruin. This is going to be a complete and full judgment. And then look at verse 10 with me. He says, moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth. That'd be the voice of joy. There's no longer going to be joy in the land of Judah. And he says, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. In other words, there won't be these happy celebrations because the land will be desolate. The land will be in ruins, and the people will be a laughingstock, basically. And he says, the sound of the millstones. Now, millstones are basically two stones that you grind together that in order to make your grain into powder so you can make bread or something along that line. And so basically what he's saying is there's not going to be the sound of people making food, because the land's going to be desolate. And then he says, and the light of the candle. So there's not even going to be artificial light there. Obviously there'll still be natural light, but there won't be any artificial light there. So this destruction, this judgment from the Lord will be complete. And I'm using the terms like will, would be, because we're looking at it from Jeremiah's perspective. We understand that this is a past judgment on Israel and on the nation of Judah. In verse 11, he says, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Now, this doesn't sound like hope, but it is hope. Because there's an end. This is a temporary judgment. These nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. In verse 12, and it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. So now he's talking about Babylon and Babylon being destroyed. But it's after these 70 years of Israel's judgment. I want us to turn over, saw on the screen already, Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 14. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 14. And here again, we see that Jeremiah prophesies. He gives a message from the Lord that this judgment will only last 70 years. Jeremiah 29, beginning verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So again, the Lord is giving this promise that this judgment will only last 70 years. And he's saying, after those 70 years, you are going to return to your land. You're going to return to the land of Israel. Now, I want to show you a timeline here. So, when Jeremiah made his prophecies, would have been approximately 605 BC, around the time that Babylon invaded Judah and took the first captives. Could have been a year or two earlier than that. And then, so from that point, we should be thinking, okay, 70 years. So when will they return? Well, if you add 70 years to 605 BC, you come out with 535 BC, which is very soon after Persia conquers Babylon. And we're going to look in the morning message at a passage in Daniel, which is right around the time for 539 BC when Persia conquers Babylon. And then we're going to look in the evening service at passage in Ezra where the people actually return back to the land. And I just find it remarkable how the Lord makes his promise one place in Scripture, and then he fulfills it another place. And it's just a reminder that our God is faithful. So the time from the beginning of the exile, beginning of the captivity of Judah, until Persia's defeat of Babylon is 67 years. Now, if you added that up, you'd come to 66. So you might ask me, how did I come to 67? Well, part of it is the way in which the ancient world figured years. You're probably familiar with this, with when Christ died, and 3 days later, he rose again. But he died on a Friday, and he rose again on Sunday. According to our figuring, that'd be less than 2 days. But the way in which they figured time is any part of Friday counts as a day, Saturday counts as a day, and any part of Sunday counts as a day. So that's 3 days. So that's why I say 67 years between 605 BC and 539 BC. And that might be important when we're looking at when they return, because they return within about 2 to 3 years after 539 BC. So that is our timeline. So let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25, and let's look now at verse, let's look again at verse 12. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. So he's saying that the Lord will judge Babylon now. So we still have the same principle, that disobedience leads to judgment. But now we're talking about another nation. In fact, the nation that was used by God to bring judgment on his people. But I wanted you to notice one other thing, and that is that their judgment would not be temporary. Israel's judgment was temporary. It lasted 70 years. But Babylon's judgment will not be temporary. I want to make note of one other thing. Even though the Babylonians didn't have God's law, see, the people of Judah had God's law. They knew what they were accountable for, and they rebelled against it. The Babylonians didn't have that same relationship with the Lord. They didn't have that same law. But still, the Lord kept them responsible. I'm reminded of Romans chapter 2 and verse 14. Romans chapter 2 and verse 14. Romans 2, verse 14 and verse 15. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. So what the Apostle Paul is saying here in the book of Romans is that even though the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, even though they don't have God's law, still they have a conscience. And still they know that they've rebelled against the Lord. And it's because of that that the Lord can judge them, and that he would judge the nation of Babylon. So turn with me back to Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah 25 and verse 14. I want to make one comment here. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also. Now that's a bit of a confusing statement. Many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also. But basically what it means is that other nations and other kings will make servants or slaves out of the Babylonians. So, the Lord judges people who disobey against him, whether they're his own people or whether they're Gentile nations like Babylon. So, I think we're going to be done a few minutes early here this morning. But I have a couple nuggets that I want for us to look at. The first nugget is that God holds all people accountable for their actions. That applies to us as much as it does to Judah or to Babylon. God holds people accountable for their actions. Now, as believers in Jesus Christ, we will not be eternally judged because Jesus Christ already took the punishment for us. But our sins don't get overlooked. We're still held accountable for them, but we're held accountable through the death of Jesus Christ rather than in ourselves. And a second nugget that I'd like for us to see is that God is particularly gracious to his chosen people, Israel. And I don't want to take this and say that this means that therefore God is particularly gracious to us as believers. But he is. That's not what this passage is saying. But God is particularly gracious to us as well. So, as we conclude, and like I said, we're ending early this morning, I want to pose a question to you. God has made a promise that Judah's punishment would only last 70 years. Will he be faithful to keep his promise? Will he keep his promise? When we look at the book of Ezra this evening, we're going to see that Ezra responds with a resounding yes. God does keep his promises. And I'll just give you a little preview of what we're going to look at in the morning service as well. We're going to look at Daniel chapter 9. And in that passage, we see that Daniel reads this prophecy from Jeremiah. And it causes him to pray to the Lord. And I'm not going to get into all that we're going to look at this morning, but I'm looking forward to that.